Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hello, and thank you for tuning into today's episode of the Agency Toolkit. I am your host, Julia McLaughlin. I'm here today with my guest, Miranda Imperi of Marketing Juice, and today we are discussing time management to avoid burnout. Miranda has been designing marketing campaigns for small businesses since 2010. Founded in 2015, Marketing Juice offers focused, organic, and customized marketing services to small businesses. As a self-taught marketing expert, Miranda teaches bi-weekly free marketing classes and regularly volunteers her time to help her local business community. She also developed an internship program for both college and high school students covering all facets of digital marketing. Thanks so much for joining us today, Miranda.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so let's dive into a couple questions so that we can get to know you a little bit. So tell us, where are you tuning in from today?
Cuyahoga Falls, Ohio.
Okay, very nice. And what would you say motivates or inspires you?
Well, honestly, I just am a big advocate for small businesses, and I absolutely love working with small businesses and being around small business owners. Their passion for what they do is almost contagious and very exciting to be around, and can be challenging, but that is really what I love about what we do, is we just get to meet so many people who just are so passionate and motivated to grow their businesses.
Yes, I know. I love connecting with other entrepreneurs as well. And you just kind of, you feed off of each other's energy and passion. And yeah, it's just a really great thing. So tell us, how did you get into digital marketing?
So it's kind of in a roundabout way, honestly. I started after high school, after completing a vocational program in graphic design, pursuing a graphic design career, because I've always been of a more creative mindset. And I just realized very quickly after my first year in college that it was not a career choice for me. It was more of a passion that I wanted to preserve as, you know, something for me.
Yeah.
So I went into a lot of sales careers. I did B2B sales and B2C sales. I was a realtor for a little while. Mm-hmm. And I realized that the aspect that I was very passionate about in sales was the marketing aspect, because up until about, you know, 10 years ago, sales and marketing were kind of one and the same. Mm-hmm. And I had become enamored with the concept of social media marketing in the early years, when businesses were just being able to become, you know, business presences on Facebook. And so I just became very interested in it and decided to learn everything that I could about digital marketing and SEO and algorithm updates, and worked in corporate America for a little while doing that, and decided to go it alone to really help these small business owners grow with digital marketing.
Nice. So tell us, like, how did Marketing Juice come about?
Well, I had been the director of marketing for a national mortgage company, helping them to build an actual marketing department that they hadn't had before. It was blended with their sales reps, and there was a lot of compliance issues, obviously, after the housing crash in the mortgage industry, lots of the FPB regulations as it pertains to communicating with the public and marketing materials. And so they were really looking for somebody to come in and run that strategy. And I helped them design an internship program for their marketing department and build the department, redesign the website. But I became very disenchanted with the corporate America lifestyle, you know, the 9-to-5, punch in, punch out. Mm-hmm. It was very emotionally and mentally draining. Mm-hmm. And so I decided to leave that because I really noticed this hole in marketing services when it comes to marketing for small businesses. There are lots of agencies out there, but typically small businesses can't afford agency work, and they also they get taken advantage of quite a bit. And so,
yeah,
you know, started Marketing Juice with the goal to create an affordable marketing service, you know, that was as good as the agency quality services that were out there, but still accessible to, you know, the solo entrepreneur or, you know, the small local coffee shop with less than 10 employees.
Yeah.
We've really grown from there. It turns out there's just not many of us out there that cater to that market. And so right now we support over 30 small businesses and are continuing to grow. So
yeah. That's amazing. Good for you. And how big is your team?
Right now we have 12 employees.
Wow. Yeah, that's a big agency.
Yeah. I don't think that I had that specific goal in mind when I started it. You know, it was just a very like, I want to create an agency to help small businesses. And it was just me and a couple freelancers, you know, when we started it out. But it became very apparent that, you know, we needed that real infrastructure, you know, in-office employees, dedicated account managers. And honestly, through the last year, we've grown quite a bit as a result of the pandemic, because, you know, all of a sudden digital marketing is more important now than it's ever been. And a lot of people have reached out to us to, you know, help them either get online if they haven't been online or recover online presences that they really haven't been paying attention to.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really forced small businesses to really dial in their online presence. Yeah. That's awesome. And how does Marketing Juice, how do you guys differentiate yourself from your, from other agencies?
Well, we offer exclusivity to our clients, which makes us pretty different from other marketing agencies out there. So we don't, we don't take clients on that are direct competitors of our current clients. So if we have, you know, realtors within a certain footprint that we market for, or restaurants that have like a radius target, we won't take on crossover competitor business, which I feel like allows us to really assume a brand voice and be very dedicated and like customized in the way that we approach their content marketing. We do have partner agencies that, you know, we work with if competitors should approach us. But I think that really differentiates us from a lot of agencies out there, because there are agencies that like specifically specialize in chiropractic marketing or restaurant marketing. And it's an ethical choice for us, where I feel like if you're going to take like a cookie cutter system and pick it up and place it in the same account, you know, each time you're marketing, it really is going to water down that market. And so we just try to be very mindful about all of that.
That's really interesting. No, I really like that strategy that you guys are using. That's cool. So let's delve into our topic now. I'm really excited to discuss this because I think this is so relevant in the industry. So we're going to be talking about time management to avoid burnout. So to start, have you experienced burnout before? And if so, what are the warning signs?
Oh my gosh. Yes. Many, many times. You know, not only am I a small business owner, agency owner, managing a pretty large staff right now, I also have two kids at home that are.
Oh my gosh, yes. The kids alone will burn you out.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, especially when they were home all day, every day for a year. That was pretty challenging.
I can relate. And,
yeah, I mean, like, and a lot of the small business owners too that we deal with, we're like in the same boat where, you know, you're going to work all day working on your business, and then you're coming home and you're working again because it's another job. And
Yeah.
I mean, burnout's dangerous because it sneaks up on you, you know, and a lot of times you can't see the signs that you're burnt out until you are burnt out. And it happens for me a lot where I'll have a lot of stuff on my plate and I will, you know, focus in all my energy, all my time on getting all of my tasks done and all of my things completed. And then the moment that I have some downtime to relax is like when my body starts to be like, you needed to rest 2 days ago. And, you know, and then like, I've gotten sick before. I've gotten, they're like, I'll have a day where I don't have to get up early and I'll sleep until noon, you know, and those are like really warning signs for me where it's like, okay, I need to spend some time every day actually, you know, not doing anything, not focusing on work, not focusing on projects, and just take some time to just be and breathe, you know, because you don't have those regular intervals where you're taking time to just relax, then, you know, your body starts to revolt.
Yeah, exactly. I know I've experienced burnout before as well. And I've noticed the warning sign for me is when I don't feel that passion. Normally I love waking up, sitting down, working every day. And whenever I feel that, like, I just lose that drive, that's like that warning sign for me.
Absolutely. Yeah. I talk to my staff a lot about this, like, your job should not be your life, you know, and that, like, we want you coming into work where you're excited to be here. You're happy to be here, you know, but it's not like, your entire life does not revolve around your job. Your job is what you do so that you can live a happy and healthy life, right? And there has to be balance there. We recently changed our schedule this year in summer so that we only work 4-day work weeks. So
interesting.
Yes.
That's amazing.
I've been paying attention a lot to, you know, social media channels with the younger people, like TikTok and Instagram, and watching reels and stuff. And there's like a lot of social conversations about how the traditional approach to, you know, the workday, the 40-hour work week, like, really doesn't fit into like American schedules now, you know, and that it's, you end up spending like most of your life at work, which is really not what we are designed to be doing, right? And so, you know, like, we've considered making some like larger changes, but we're trying to kind of adjust the way that we work so that our employees can have that better work-life balance. We moved to weekly payrolls so that, you know, everybody gets a check every Friday. We also moved up our pay schedule so that, you know, employees are getting more immediately paid for the work that they're doing. And then we also went to this 4-day work week where we've actually taken a lot of time to really train our clients on like how to communicate with us. You know, we've put autoresponders on our emails Friday through Sunday so that, you know, employees are not spending time on the weekends, you know, like rushing to projects. And I feel like there's not really any such thing as like a marketing emergency, right? Like there's definitely things that, like, you know, they'll come up and they're time sensitive, but, you know, it's really important for me that, like, I respect my staff's personal time, and we make sure that, like, we're cut off at 6 p.m. every night, and that Friday through Sunday, we are not doing any work or requiring the team to be part of any meetings or client communications.
Yeah, I think that's so groundbreaking. Like, you don't, you know, I there's countries out there that do talk about the 4-day work week. Is it Denmark? I think that's so cool. And considering there's only like, I think about like studies show 4 hours a day that, you know, you're actually really productive. I think it makes sense from, you know, an agency standpoint, you'd be saving money, you're being more productive, your staff are happier. So I think it actually makes so much sense.
Yeah, there are tons of financial studies out there that show how much more profitable companies become, you know, when they start investing into their employees' work-life balance. You know, that one study I keep finding on LinkedIn about how the CEO leveled out everybody's salaries, you know, in the company, and everybody said that he was being insane and ridiculous, but all of his employees were able to become, you know, homeowners and take vacations and like do all of these things to enrich their personal lives, which then in turn allowed them to invest more, you know, more of themselves into their job, you know, and become more invested, and their turnover rates dropped. And, you know, I'm always trying to pay attention to that kind of stuff, because I noticed that, you know, when my employees are overloaded with their work, their work drops, you know, their quality of work drops. And, you know, I want people coming in here who feel good and happy about what they're doing, because if you don't feel like that, you can't do anything very well.
Absolutely. Yeah, I love that. So could you talk about what your daily schedule looks like? You know, do you have set times for exercise and breaks throughout the day? Could you kind of talk to us about that?
Yeah, so for our staff, we actually let our staff manage their own hours. And so when we hire a new employee, you know, they're told to deliver a schedule that they're going to be held accountable to. So, you know, every employee we bring on is, we give them a rough amount of hours that we expect them to be working each week. Mm-hmm. And so we will have them send in their schedule, and then we'll, you know, police like that they're coming in on time, you know, that accountability factor is there, you know, that they're staying through the hours that they intend to work every day.
Yep.
But we don't have like allotted break times for employees. And what I've done here is I've created like a lot of lounge areas and like spaces to like get up and move away from your desk and take a break. We actually live in a really beautiful part of Cuyahoga Falls where we're right next to a river and a beautiful little downtown area. And so I encourage all the employees, like if you feel like you're you know, a little bit stressed or you can't come up with ideas for your content, get up, go outside, take a walk. You know, we don't make anybody punch out, because I've been in an environment like that before. And I don't feel like for me personally, it did anything to increase my productivity or my level of accountability, you know, and I feel like the more my companies that I've worked for have trusted me to make decisions for myself, the more I've felt, you know, the better I felt about producing quality work for that company. And so we don't really manage lunch breaks, you know, and I tell the employees, like, there's no policing sick time. If you're sick, we want you to stay home. If you need a mental health day, we want you to stay home and take that mental health day. If you need to take a 2-hour lunch, do that 2-hour lunch. If you need to have a doctor's appointment on a Wednesday in the middle of the day, as long as you let us know, as long as the communication is there, I'm just not interested in micromanaging anybody's time like that.
Yeah. I love that you guys do the mental health days as well, because that's huge and not enough companies are really encouraging those.
Yeah, I know. It's, I mean, it's just become so much in the forefront too, like over the last year with all of the stress and anxiety that people have experienced through the pandemic, that like, it just seems silly that companies wouldn't be investing in mental health programs at this point. You know, like everybody, even people who don't regularly deal with mental health issues, we're all experiencing that to some degree.
Yes.
And it definitely affects your work performance. So
absolutely,
if you're not able to, you know, have your finger on that pulse as a company, then like you really don't have that good relationship with your staff.
Definitely. Could you talk about the importance of delegating tasks as a way to prevent burnout?
Yes. So, so we've been honestly like perfecting this and like reworking this process since the beginning of starting the agency. In the beginning, when we had very few people working here, and fewer clients, you know, it was like, here are the things you're working on and here are the, you know, like the accounts that you're managing or here are the projects that you're managing, and just clear division, like equal division of tasks. But as we grow, it's become more apparent that there needs to be these like tiers within the agency of oversight. And so we have levels of content responsibilities. And so we always have somebody who's like checking the content and making sure that it aligns with the client's brand and goals and initiatives. And then we also have people who are like just content writers, you know, just blog writers, just social media writers. I find that like within a, like a whole digital marketing project, it becomes very overwhelming to have to do all of those little steps, because there's so many little details that you have to have your eyes on all the time, that when you're working with multiple accounts, a lot of that stuff can get lost, especially when you're also doing the content writing.
Right.
And so we split that stuff off. And I mean, even personally for me, the best piece of advice that I've ever received was actually from my mom. And it was, you know, I was very stressed as my company was growing because I wasn't able to spend a lot of time at home, and I wasn't able to do all the, you know, the cooking, the cleaning, the navigating.
You've got like the mom guilt.
Exactly. Right. And so, you know, I'd get super stressed, especially about cleaning my house. You know, I'd work these 10, 12 hour days, and then I'd come home and I wouldn't be able to do the laundry because I'd just be so tired.
Yeah.
And I, you know, like the house would start to get dirty, and, you know, the vacuuming wasn't getting done. My husband works full time, you know, so we were just kind of like really stressed about that. And, you know, my mom kept saying, you know, just hire somebody, just hire somebody. And I was so afraid to spend that money, because I was worried that I didn't have it, you know, and that,
yeah,
you know, what she said to me is that, you know, if you're the one paying, or if you're the one cleaning your house, then you're paying yourself to clean your house. And what's your time worth to you?
Ooh, that's
is
good.
Is it worth the $60, you know, to, or $100 or whatever it costs to hire a cleaner to come in and clean your house? Is your time worth that much?
Yes.
And it completely reframed my perspective on delegation in that way. And I was able to hire somebody to do those things that I just couldn't get to. And I hired a personal assistant, and I hired an operations administrator for the company.
Mm-hmm.
I outsourced our payroll and HR services to an excellent company here in town. Those things that I just felt like I couldn't afford ended up making my company that much more profitable.
Yeah.
Because I had time then to work on building my business and do the things that actually are revenue producing for me.
Yes, whereas exactly.
I'm not getting a return when I sit here and run all the numbers for payroll, right? But I am getting a return when I'm out there talking to clients, and I'm training my staff, and I'm running our internship program and all of that stuff. And so, you know, it's like reframing my perspective. I'm like, my time is my commodity, you know, mm-hmm. and how can I use my time more wisely? And that, like, really changed my whole life and like the way that I have built my business thus far.
Yes. Your mom is a wise woman. She should be a business coach.
I know.
Such good advice. Could you talk about your self-care routine and the importance of that?
Sure. I'm bad at that. I really try.
And it's hard when you have kids too. It's hard to get it all in.
Yes. You know, I think it's like, as a female business owner, as a mom, you know, I think that there is just this like pull to take care of everybody around you. And that, you know, when you're taking care of everybody around you, like you're all your needs are last on the list.
Mm-hmm.
And I've worked very hard. So last year I had COVID, and I had terrible COVID. I was hospitalized. It was really bad.
Wow.
And I had my appendix burst as a result and nearly died. And so it really changed the way that I look at taking care of myself today. And so it's like when I do have all these people to take care of. You know, I have my employees, I have my family, you know, I have a lot of things on my plate to do. But what I've started to try to do is like adding myself to that list.
Yes.
You know, I'm also a person on my list that I need to take care of. And then, you know, making sure that I'm doing like little things, like washing my face every day. I started washing my face every day. And that was like a revolutionary thing, you know, because it was like, I would get up and I would feed my kids and I would get them dressed and get them ready for the day and make sure the dogs were fed and make sure the dishes were in the sink and all of that. And then the last thing I was doing was like making sure I was ready for the day. And instead, you know, you really can't take care of anybody else if you don't have, you know, yourself together first. Right. And so I woke up earlier, I make sure that I take care of myself and take care of like the very basic needs. And I think like, it seems so silly, like when I'm saying it out loud, that like, that wasn't part of my day before, but
yeah,
it changed my whole life when I started doing that stuff. So,
Yeah. And I think as a mom, like it's so common to put yourself last. But the way I like to look at it as like, I want to lead by example. Like I want to teach my daughter not to do that to herself. So I have to be a little bit selfish in taking care, not calling it selfish, but you know, putting yourself first, because I can't do a great job taking care of you if I'm not taken care of, like putting on your oxygen mask first. So yeah, just like changing the way you look at that, I think is like a total game changer.
Yeah. It's definitely helped. And it's, you know, it's helped my own self-image too. Like the more that I take care of myself, the more that I'm like take pride in myself and the, yeah, and what I do, you know, and that like that imposter syndrome that I felt for so long, like really started to go away when I started prioritizing my own self-care.
Yeah, that's awesome. So once burnout has set in, what are some ways that you can deal with it to get rid of it quickly?
So I find that, you know, whatever ways that I can turn off my brain are like the best ways to like recharge that creative energy that I need to move forward. And so I have like stupid cell phone games that I play, you know, for like, I will take a break and I will play something really stupid on my phone that, you know, completely shuts my brain off and doesn't, you know, allow that hamster wheel to continue to turn in my head. And
yeah,
I do some meditating. I have one of those Muse devices, which I find really helpful. I have a lot of trouble quieting my brain, but I don't know if you've heard of that before, but Muse is like a biofeedback device that you can put on your forehead.
Interesting. No, I've never heard of that. I'm going to look into that.
It's very helpful. It reads your brain waves and it hooks up to a soundscape through your headphones. And so when your brain is more active, there will be like a lot more rain sounds, you know, like you can pick different soundscapes. So if you pick like a rainforest, for instance, when you clear your mind, the birds start to chirp because your brain waves aren't as active, and it trains you, like it gives you that like that biofeedback, right? That trains your brain to expel some of that like crazy activity that's going on. So that I've noticed that it helps me a lot in like high stress situations where I would get really anxious and like my thoughts would be racing, but doing that and practicing that with that soundscape is really helpful.
That's really interesting. And then where did you pick that up?
Found it online. I think I bought it like on a Black Friday sale a few years back, and it's
okay.
Just a really cool tool. It's not very expensive. So,
and what's it called? Is it called Soundscapes?
It's called Muse.
Muse.
Muse headband. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I'm definitely going to check that out. That's really cool. And then have you learned any lessons from experiencing burnout?
I've learned that, you know, taking like frequent breaks is okay. You know, like I don't need to get everything done all in one go. And I've always been that, I've had that style approach to my work. And I know a lot of my employees struggle with that too. You know, like they have a task, they don't like to see that a task is overdue. You know, they get really stressed and they end up working like super late hours to just get something done. And like, I find that I do better work and that it's not that big of a deal, you know, if it's a day later than I intended to finish it, as long as I can take those breaks. And we do a lot of time blocking here. So we offer Toggle for our work from home employees. And so they like, it's helpful because you can track exactly how much time you're spending on each task. And then you can, you know, like spend 20 minutes here, like you can say, okay, this is, should be a 20 minute task. And then a lot of times with digital marketing, which I'm sure you know, something will be a 20 minute task. You'll start it and then it will evolve into 5 or 6 more tasks that are then, you know, 3 hours later, you're like, oh my God, I only needed to spend 20 minutes on this, right?
And yes,
that can get away from you if you don't have something like keeping you aligned for that, like time management, right? And so yeah. When our employees work from home, we encourage them to use this tool because you can literally set a timer and say, okay, I'm gonna work for 20 minutes here, and then I'm gonna get up and move around and take a break, and then I'm gonna come back 10 minutes later, I'm gonna start again on, you know, either this task that didn't get completed or this other task that needs to get done today. And so those things are super helpful to prevent that burnout from happening.
Yeah, such a great productivity hack. And yeah, I think it's so smart. So where do you see Marketing Juice in 5 years' time?
It's hard to say. We had I was just talking to my operations admin today or yesterday about this. And we sit down and we do goal planning every year. And we talked about how, you know, this is our 1 year goal, 3 year goal, 5 year goal for the company. Mm-hmm. And our 3 year goal, we already met it. So
amazing.
It's not even the end of the year yet. And I just feel like the pandemic kind of accelerated our timeline so much. And so,
yeah,
you know, I hope to be continuing to grow, hopefully at a little bit of a slower pace over the next 5 years, but there seems to be a lot of small business owners and honestly, a lot more small businesses that just opened as a result of the pandemic. And so I want to continue to help them. I mean, I see Marketing Juice in the same capacity that it's in now, just a little bit bigger, you know, and helping a little bit more small business owners.
I love that. Well, we are getting ready to wrap up here shortly, but first we have the Fast Five, which are five rapid fire questions. So what is a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
So I just got done reading this book called What Happened to You. Mm-hmm. It was like one of those Oprah books, and it was incredibly eye-opening. So it talks about how neural pathways are formed from experiences in your life and trauma specifically.
Yeah.
It changed the way that I view people, you know, because a lot of times, like, people act in a way that's like completely confusing, you know, and it may not seem like appropriate for that situation and whatever it may be, right? But it's really allowed me to have a little bit more empathy, just like for my fellow man, and like just to give people a little bit more grace about you know, what they may have gone through. And I think our society has always kind of looked at, you know, traumatic experiences in your past as like things you can get over. But there, this book talks about how the physical grooves in your brain get changed, you know, and like the neural pathways in your brain are changed from those events. And so, sometimes you just can't help that, you know? So
yeah,
I think that everybody should read books like that just to like give them a little bit more perspective about what other people go through on a daily basis. And just, you know, I think that we're lacking that as a society today. And it was a really cool book to read.
Yes. Yeah. I love that you brought that up. I think that's so interesting. And I agree. I think if we have more grace for our fellow man, the world would be a different place. And it's a really great reminder. Yeah. And what does your morning routine look like? I know you have two kids, so it's probably a little crazy, like my morning routine.
Yes. Well, I try to get up early, and I wash my face first thing every morning. That really sets the tone for my day. I make my bed. I do something that does not require a ton of brain activity. So lately I've been playing Animal Crossing for about a half an hour, which is an incredibly soothing experience.
Oh, interesting.
It is, you know, nobody expects anything of you in the Animal Crossing Island. So it's just very relaxing for me. And I write in my panda planner every day. That's another one of those things that we do for all of our employees too. I buy every new hire a panda planner, which is a cool planner that has like things that you're grateful for, things that you're excited about each day, an affirmation that you write to yourself, and then really priority cool. task lists. And what's wonderful about it is that it's not dated. So you don't have to feel shame if you skip a couple days for your planner, you know?
Yeah.
It's pretty free form. So I, I write my gratitude list down in my Panda Planner every day, and a positive affirmation. I pick a new one each month. And that's been working so far. So
that's awesome. I love that. That sounds like an amazing routine. And is there a CEO that you follow or study?
I follow a lot of local CEOs and entrepreneurs here. You know, a lot of the property development people following their careers. I follow the Testas, Paul and Joel Testa, and the John Klebina. They're local entrepreneurs here. They own most of the properties in town. And, you know, honestly, I have aspirations of owning multiple businesses. And I just try to study, you know, the patterns and, you know, business decisions of the successful people around me locally.
Yeah, that's so smart. And what is your favorite online tool?
Asana, project management software is my, by far my favorite.
Asana's great.
It's basically our whole organization at this point. We manage all of our client projects, all of our communications for client projects. It's such an amazing tool. And I love that it has a mobile app, so we can, you know, really stay on top of, you know, whatever's going on with all of our clients and all the employees through that.
That's awesome. And last question, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
I wish I had known that everybody experiences imposter syndrome. I think, like, being young, when I started my company and also being female, I felt like maybe I wasn't qualified a lot of times to do some things that I definitely could have done. Mm-hmm. And I definitely second guessed myself in a lot of the decisions that I was making. And, you know, the older I get, the more that I realize that all of the business owners around me experience imposter syndrome.
And all of them. Yeah.
Anybody in any career experiences that. And I just wish that they talked about it more, you know, as a society, that, like, it's normal to feel a little bit doubtful about your abilities and, like, you know, how to, like, talk yourself up and build that self-confidence.
Yeah. Yeah. So many guests talk about it on the podcast. So yeah, I've just come to the conclusion it's something everyone deals with.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Miranda. It's been really great chatting with you.
It's been great chatting with you too. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast, and we'll see you next time.